I wasn't looking forward to it, but we had to go to Mickey's. I expected to see the regular Ware waitstaff, and I expected Theron at the bar.
Hey, Jill!
Jill!
What I did not expect was to be almost mobbed by Wares as soon as I set foot in the door. It looked like a regular lunchtime crowd, but it was full of cat Ware and bird Ware. And I was hugged, slapped on the shoulder, fingers brushing over my face and touching my hair.
All right. All right, everyone.
Hiya, everyone.
Leon was clapped on the shoulder a few times. He nodded and grinned, giving a thumbs up, especially when someone passed him a can of Pabst.
Now that's more like it.
God damn it, Jill!
A very big, very angry Theron came pushing his way through the crowd.
Out of the way! Get out of the way!
Gotcha.
Theron grabbed me by the shoulders, gave me a once-over, and shook me twice, sharply, so my head bobbled.
Jesus, Theron! Cut it out!
God damn it, Jill! What am I gonna tell Saul about this, God damn it? Where have you been? There's hellbreed all over your house!
Settle down, Theron. There's not much time.
As the crowd backed off, I caught sight of an anomaly. A human face among the wares. Gilberto Rosario Gonzalez Ayala leaned over the counter, surveying the scene. Amelia passed him, handing off a bottle of microbrew the kid looked far too young to drink.
Gracias, mami.
The kid turned around, his eyes sweeping Mickey's interior and stopping on me.
What the hell is he doing here?
Showed up. The 51 sent him to check with us, since you got firebombed on your way out of their territory. And the guys that blew up your car moved into the 51 slice of the barrio. Things have been hopping down there.
Shit. How was I going to sort this out, too?
Priorities, Jill. As much as I hated it, gang warfare wasn't my problem. I had bigger fish to gut and fry. Someone flipped the closed sign, and Wares crowded close as I moved towards an empty table near the back of the dining room, away from the windows.
Pipe down, everyone! What we have here, ladies and gentlemen, is a situation. We have a hellbreed operating inside Santa Luz, shipping in scurf with the help of several members of the police force, and using them as the cleanup crew after a nasty little organ-stripping campaign. Illegal immigrants are being shipped in by coyotes, parted out like junked cars, and the remains disposed of. The organs are sold, and the scurf are not just here for cleaning up what's left. There's experiments. Experiments on scurf, with scurf tissue, and funded by this organ operation.
What kind of experiments?
I don't know.
I set down the ledgers and Carp's messy stuff to the gills file. Taken together, they were a pretty damning picture of corruption, at least from the organ theft side of it. Looking below the surface, there was another shape, something looming over my city like a hand about to crush a struggling ant.
Corruption in the police department goes high up. I'm not sure how high just yet. The cop we thought put out the hit on me down in the barrio's been dead for a few days.
I let my eyes travel past the Wares to the fringe of the group, to where Gilberto stood, leaning hip-shot against the long lunch counter where truckers sometimes sat, or anyone who didn't mind their breakfast slid to them along the counter like a hockey puck. His dead eyes narrowed. I held his gaze for a long moment.
What does this kid know about the night side? He knows about Wares, that much is certain. Señor Gilberto?
Gil stepped away from the lunch counter, and the Wares parted to let him through. Leon took in the kid with a swift glance. Theron didn't twitch, but he was tense at my shoulder.
He's representing the 51s, Jill. They feel bad that you were attacked.
And they don't want to piss off a witch allied to the Wares. It wasn't their fault. I wasn't on 51 territory. I'm worried about them catching flack from associating with me.
They had you marked the minute you crossed off our turf, Chiquita. Now how you suppose they did that?
I'm a gringa?
Si, bruja. But nobody knew you come down to see us but El Gato here, right?
And Carper. There was one other person. The cop that gave me the lead on I.
Gil. Your brother's partner killed him. Gil's utter stillness might have fooled a human, but not a room full of wares. I held the boy's dark, soulless gaze, watching the color bleed out from under his cheeks until he was sallow instead of Hispanic.
His partner's dead, too. His house was torn apart. But I've got a rough timeline. He had the widow's ledgers and—
Oh, hold up, Bruja. Ayala. His partner, you say? Bernie kill him?
It appears that way. I'm gonna keep digging, though. Until I find out everything about this, I'm still on the job.
Then the 51 stay on the job, too.
Gil darted a glance to Theron, sweat sheening his forehead and upper lip. He'd lost the hairnet, and his hair was surprisingly soft-looking, with a hint of childhood curl.
I go to Ramon. Es un traidor en nuestra casa, Bruja. Because there was no way they should know you visit us.
The traitor may not be among the 51s, Gil. Because if I's partner was dead, my contact sent me into the barrio, but I know he's not fat. The name El Pendejo Gordo mean anything to you?
Lot of pendejos gordos in El Barrio, Bruja. Lot of them.
Don't declare war on the cops. The last thing we need is a bloodbath in the barrio.
Whatever.
Do not fire on the cops. Why do I feel like a den mother?
The kids seemed to feel comfortable enough in a room full of wares, and had only given Leon the same passing glance he gave me, measuring, calculating, and not frightened at all.
Curiouser and curiouser.
I take it to Ramon. He decide.
Good enough. Ramon's smart enough to keep things quiet down there. I hope.
Can someone go with Gil?
Two of the wares, a lean cub whose face looked very familiar, and a bird ware with sleek black feathers knotted in her straight dark hair, raised their hands.
We'll cover him, Jill.
Bullshit, yo. Come on, you two.
He headed out with the two wares.
Nice kid.
How much does he know about the night side, Theron?
Enough, Jill. They all know enough down in the barrio. You want to tell me why there's hellbreed swarming your house?
I suppose I should be grateful he held off grilling me for this long. If I knew enough to fill you in, I'd be gunning for the breed behind all this. So far, all I know is there's a pattern, sure, but it isn't clear enough yet. Any more scurf? Anything?
Not a whisper. We cleaned them out.
Thank you, God. Did we lose...
Two more.
God damn it. Two more of my wares dead. And I didn't even know their names.
Were there hellbreed there? At the warehouse site?
Not a one. We would have held back and waited for you a while if there had been.
I want two or three wares on Montaigne. Watch him. Don't let anything get to him. He's a target now, too. I also want some of you watching Galena's house. They tried to kill me on site before, and I got a wounded human and a traitor in there. Hutch will be there, too, for the duration.
We'll take care of it.
He isn't gonna like the next one.
Tell the 51s. We want to meet with the gang that opened fire on me. If we can find out who El Pendejo Gordo is, I'll feel a lot better about this.
Oh, for Christ's sake, Jill, the barrio...
You'll be standing in for me. I'm not going into the barrio again. Leon and I are going to make a run on this airfield where they transport the organs out. There's bound to be something out there.
We'll go.
No, you won't. Nowhere will get within 10 miles of that place. It's hunter business, Theron, and that kind doesn't mix with wares. There's rumor of a hell breed involved with this.
More than a rumor. This has sticky little hell fingers all over it.
Maybe that bastard that runs the Monde?
Not him, trust me. Another hellbreed. Seriously bad news if the sources are right.
That's the understatement of the year.
My brain returned to the problem, probing at it like a sore tooth. There is a strict hierarchy in hell, and we usually only saw the lower orders, it being too goddamn hard for the biggies to come through into the physical plane. The biggest we usually see is a Talon. They're mostly insubstantial anyway.
Except Perry, who might or might not be one.
Which I didn't want to think about right now.
He can't be a Talon. He's all too substantial on a daily basis.
I didn't want to think about that either.
If half, or even a quarter of what Hutch has said about this Argoth in those moldy books of his is true,
Leon and I will take care of it, Theron. But I need everywhere watching the city. Keep the barrio from boiling over. and see what you can do about finding out exactly which cop gave the kill order on me. Got it?
I don't like this. You should have backup.
I have backup, Theron. He's standing right here. What I don't need is you second-guessing me.
This is Lone Ranger shit, Jill.
Enough,
you know how...
Theron! Leon and I will handle it. You have no idea what's about to go down, goddammit, and I need my city kept safe while we avert a goddamn apocalypse or two.
All right. You got it, Jill. We'll keep the city together.
Good deal. Hang on to Karp's file and the ledgers for me, will you? I don't know where else to put it.
Anything else?
Just keep Santa Luz on the map and spinning like a top. Leon and I will take care of the rest. Leon, let's get moving.
Roger that, Jill. Ready.
Jill.
Don't hassle me now, fur boy. Just don't do it.
We can't afford to lose another hunter.
We won't.
The green Charger sat across the street, in a rare bit of shade and free parking in front of a Whole Foods store and a video rental place. I looked at Bernie's keychain, a heavy brass Playboy bunny head, as it swung through the hot stillness of the interior.
You just lied to a room full of wares. Oh, Jesus, Jill.
The shipments should stop now that we've hit their distribution center. Leon, you can go home. You don't have to see this through.
I've been curious all my life. Ain't gonna stop now.
Well, if this Argoth is closer than we think, I'll need all the help I can get. Since neither of us is Jack Karma. Not even close.
The Charger had nowhere near my Impala's sweet purr. Bernie hadn't taken care of this car.
I can fix that. If I hang on to this hunk of metal after the case ends... I have to clean it out, too.
We need ammo, but I don't want to draw any more attention to Galena's. I got a cache in the suburbs. We should get to the airfield in about 2 hours.
I've been praying my ass off the whole time, Jill. This is suicide.
Well, it beats sitting in front of the TV.
Oh, amen to that.
The Annabella Rosencrantz Memorial Airfield sits about 20 miles outside the city limits. It's a dusty claptrap place. Hangars set on one side of a long strip of pounded-down desert, leveled by a wheezing bulldozer after every gully washer. Hutch had done his digging well, and now I knew all about it. ARA was where prop plane enthusiasts stored their machines, and the Santa Luz Police Department trained their 2 or 3 helicopter pilots. County Fire Department trained out here too, sometimes, rather than at the bigger airport situated halfway between Santa Luz and the state capital. All in all, the dusty little place saw a lot of activity. That is, until last year. Hutch had discovered ARA had been closed for repair last winter, and never reopened. The amateur enthusiasts had moved closer to the county seat, and the cops hadn't been out here at all this year. At least... not the honest ones. Which is why I wasn't surprised when we crested the rise on a forestry service road cutting off the highway at an angle and heading into the canyons to see more tin roofs throwing blinding spears of sunlight at the sky. It was the 8x10 I'd found in the Cherry Street warehouse. That picture had been taken recently for some reason. Probably to familiarize a pilot with the layout so the cargoes could be flown out. The drug runners move through further east, trucking things up through the border, carrying them through with illegal immigrants, and paying flyboys top dollar to play tag with Border Patrol. The last time I tangled with serious drug running into Santa Luz had been that hellbreed motherfucker selling tainted E. But most of that had been cleaning up the pipeline for ingredients, since the actual drug had been made in the basement of an apartment building at the edge of the barrio.
What?
Leon squinted through the windshield as we rolled to a stop below the top of the rise. I gestured briefly. Heat waves blurred the distance and poured in through the open windows.
They've built more onto the airfield.
We exchanged a long, meaningful look. Rosita was in the back seat, out of sight, but close at hand should Leon need her.
Ah, shit.
He leaned over the seat to grab her.
Probably not a bad idea.
Coming in this way, we had some cover, but the airfield was...
Well, an airfield. And out in the middle of nowhere where you could see somebody coming. We would raise a rooster tail of dust into the stratosphere, and if they had assault rifles...
We'll deal with that when we get there.
I tipped my shades down my nose, looking over them and memorizing the layout. Light stung. Water wrung out of both my smart and dumb eyes. And yes, friends and neighbors, wasn't there a plucking in the fabric of reality around the airfield? Little dimples of swirling corruption lifting like pollen on the air, rising with the heat, and a brackish well of contamination centered right over the airfield, welling up like crude from a deep, dark, secret place. Leon eyed it, too.
Gives me the willies.
Contamination. Can't tell what it's from yet.
Yay. This ain't gonna be pretty, darling.
I know. If half of what Hutch has archived is true, we're stuck hoping he hasn't found a door yet.
Oh, this bothers me, Leon. It bothers me a lot.
You get the feeling we're being led by the nose?
All through this goddamn thing. I just don't see how anyone would think Monty would call me in to look at his ex-partner's suicide. And I don't see how anyone could expect me to find Scurf and take them out, even if I was looking into disappearances on the east side. Those were probably escaped stragglers. Unless the breed was outside to watch over them. It was probably luck, pure and simple, and...
And any time we get that lucky, someone has to be planning something. So what are we gonna do?
We find out what's going on at this airfield and what those new buildings are. And with any luck, they won't be expecting us to hit them here. This is quite a run of luck we're hoping for. Fuck.
My sentimental, exactly. So what's the plan?
What would you do?
Well, I'd drive this piece of shit straight in and keep my eyes open, and I'd send you out to draw their fire, darling, while I bulwark myself in and Rosita covers you. Well, that's assuming they have guards.
I don't see anyone moving, but that's no assurance. Luckily, this baby's heavy metal, like my Impala. Should be good, as long as nobody hits a gas tank. After blowing up one car already on this case, I don't think I want to blow up another.
Amen, darling.
Well then, shall we?
Hit it!
Dust rose in a choking swath behind us as I worked the steering, swinging the rear end out and standing on the brake. I bailed out as Leon did, and we both scrambled for the defensible angle between the back of the car and the farthest hangar. From there, we'd have a straight shot down the runway, or a good chance of cover while bobbing and weaving to the new buildings.
Is it just me, or was that kind of anticlimactic?
I can live with that.
Leon socked Rosita to his shoulder, his keen eyes alert down the alley for any muzzle flash. I took a gun in each hand. You ready?
Go!
I moved. Etheric force pulled through the humming scar on my wrist, almost faster than I could control.
Acting up. Damn it, Perry!
I reached cover, pointed my guns down the way, and found no breath of anything stirring. Leon tore down the same path I'd taken.
Go.
We covered each other, leapfrogging, even though it was goddamn evident there was nobody here.
Go! This is creepy.
I'd have to agree.
It has to be a trap. Has to be.
Leon and I both stopped, considered the largest of the new buildings crouched ahead under a shiny tin roof. There was a door, a nice double-reinforced number on the side of the prefabricated trailer, a brand-spanking new set of wooden steps, and a ramp large enough to wheel a forklift up led to the door, its latch and padlock glimmering like fool's gold.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Yeah. No windows? And locked on the outside. Just like the Winchell murder site.
Goose flesh rose cold and hard under my skin, and I made another one of those wrenching mental efforts to stay clear.
Leon is depending on you, damn it. So are your wares. And your city.
You go first.
Sure you don't want to take this one?
I glanced over at Leon and Rosita. The spark was back in his eyes, and high, hard color stood out on his cheeks. Otherwise, he was dead white. A sheen of sweat touched his forehead. His attention never wavered from the padlocked door.
Ladies first. That's what I always say, darling. Ladies first.
I don't know. I usually go by age before beauty.
I'm prone to pearls before sweat.
I was already moving, bolting out of cover. I hit the door like it had personally offended me. I landed hard, weight on the balls of my feet, and swept with my guns. The tree hit me just as hard, knocking me ass over tea kettle down the three steps I'd just bolted up. I landed on my back. At the apex of his leap, the dirty blonde traitor, wearing an eerily gleaming long white coat, was tumbled sideways by a load of silver ammo punching into his side, curling up like a spider dropped into a candle flame. I was on my feet again.
Mercy!
I landed on the cowering traitor with one gun trained on him. I swung my other on the door of the trailer.
Mercy! Don't kill me, Kiswick! Don't kill me, please!
What the fuck? Did he just say my name? How many more? Who else is in there? Bright
blood welled between the traitor's fingers, clamped to his side. The white was a lab coat, now grinding into the dirt and fouled with blood. Lots of blood. Only faintly tinged with black corruption.
Mercy! Irene!
What the hell? Hellbreed crawling all over my house, and now this traitor moaning a traitor waitress's name? Hang on a second. Hold the phone for just one goddamn minute here. Fairfax?
I didn't lower my guns. Every hair on my body stood on end, quivering, scouring the air currents for the next weird happenstance.
Wait a minute. I thought I killed you.
Caught assuming. Again.
God damn it. And Irene had looked relieved when I insisted the blonde was Hellbreed. I hadn't said traitor.
The traitor's eyes, blue under the flat shine of the dusted, half opened.
Nobody here, just the subjects and me.
What's going on, Jill?
Hold on, Leon. Subjects? And how the fuck do you know Irene? Talk, traitor.
Oh, she's my wife, goddammit!
I hauled him up from the crumbling dirt by his lapels.
Move!
I shoved him toward the blown-out door, his body in front of mine like a shield.
Inside! And if there's someone in there, you die first.
They say you help. Please, help people.
They certainly do say that. What they don't say is that I'm a right bitch. Sometimes.
I prodded him again. He stumbled up the steps and managed two more steps inside before going down.
Oh! Oh!
The smell boiled out and hit me. Candied, foul, rotting sweetness. My hackles rose, adrenaline dumping into my bloodstream like pollution into a river.
Jill?
I scanned the inside of the building.
Jesus! Jesus Christ! Come on, Leon!
I plunged into the smell, stepping over the unconscious traitor. I didn't even cuff him. He was losing blood too fast to need it. The tanks were huge, glassy cylinders of greenish liquid. In each clear tube, a scurf floated, in varying stages of maturity. The smell was enough to make my eyes run, even with the door blasted open and sunlight scouring a rectangle of yellow linoleum. There were two rows of the green tubes, each lit with ghostly non-UV light. There were dissection tables, and a long bookcase along one wall, stacked with reference works and binders. Leon cuffed the traitor and I dragged him to a table.
Bandage him up, will you, Leon?
You got it.
Meanwhile, I stared at the closest tube full of green, viscous stuff. And the scurf floating, eyes closed.
Jesus. They're preserved.
What the fuck is going on here, Jill?
Hopefully some of these books will tell us. Virology. chemical composition of antidepressants. The Anarchist Cookbook, even. Looks like a first edition, too.
Wow, classic. Save that one for me.
Kleptomaniac. One whole wall of the trailer hangar was taken up with chem lab equipment. They'd been cooking something up out here in the desert. I'll keep an eye on this one here, Leon. Check that stuff over there, will
you? You kidding?
Didn't you take chemistry?
Yeah, but I skipped class as soon as I figured out how to make beer and fertilizer explosives.
Now there's a combination. I moved back toward the trader, who'd started to come around, his eyes rolling back down in his head. He'd lost a lot of blood, but he was tougher than the average human. Then again, it didn't look like he'd traded for anything good, like super strength or invulnerability. But then, there are those teeth! And his hands looked funny. Bonelessly flopping and too delicate. Strangler's hands. Blonde stubble covered his cheeks. He looked like a watered-down version of Hutch, weak-eyed as a mole. The lab coat covered a frame that wasn't even wiry strong. Just wiry. Looking at him curled on the surgical table we'd laid him on, it took me a moment to figure out why he looked familiar. There was the same ratty little gleam in his eyes as in Irene's, a gleam I wasn't sure I liked. I turned back towards Leon. He was all white now, pale, even under the fish belly of night-walking hunter. His eyeliner had turned garish against the new pallor. From the cold feeling in my cheeks, I probably wasn't far behind. The smell was incredible. Fresh tears trickled down my cheeks, and the scar puckered itself up into a tiny mouth, a thrill of painful heat running up the branching channels of my nerves.
Irene!
Hey, Sleeping Beauty! Start talking.
You're her, Kismet. You're actually her?
No shit. The question is, who the fuck are you? But that can wait. Is there anyone else here? Anyone at all?
It's just the subjects. They're in the east building, two down. It's not due in the south building for another week.
What's in another week?
The summoning. They're not due for another week. When the moon's dark, then they
what? I had a sneaking suspicion I knew Argoth. Or other seriously bad news.
They won't tell me. Only that he is coming. And he wants this place. I keep my ears open. So does Irene. When he comes, they have the formula. They'll make as much of it as they want.
Formula for what? And why do I have this sinking feeling like I know who he is?
For the sickness. For dream.
What sickness?
Bioweapon. They came to me with samples. I thought they were the government. They said, what can you do with this? It was a good job. I took it. And then they took Irene. Said I had to start working and working quick or Irene would be dead before.
Bioweapon? Oh, Christ Jesus. Samples?
From them.
The Scurfs?
They got live ones from somewhere. A lot of them. Finally figured out how to put them in the Zerikane and the cellular burn stops. They die out but don't rot. It's a preservative. Use the same process for...
There's some Dayglo purple powder over here, Jill. All little Ziplocs. Looks ready for shipment.
It is ready. It starts changing on the first hit. You can deliver it through the water supply. It could possibly go airborne if I had enough time. But I can't figure out how to stop the replication yet. The side effects are...
Side effects?
These things, whatever they are, the viral replication is just endless. It remodels the genetic code and eats up hemoglobin like nobody's business. So the dream, that's what I call it. It's hard and fast like a Mack truck, but the side effects, they can't go out in the sun. Their pupils get all dilated and they get thirsty. They tear each other up, and when one of them starts to bleed, It's in the blood. I could engineer the effect for just a quick death and stop the mutation if they would give me more time. But they said... I thought they were from the government. Who else would want something like this?
Holy shit, you're kidding.
Once it's perfected...
Enough! Men like you make the fucking atom bomb, you waste!
I didn't need any help putting together the consequences. No wonder Hellbreed were crawling all over this. It had all the things they like in a weapon. But what was the connection? The sense of a missing puzzle piece returned.
Is it just because it can cause enough death to feed a hungry high-class Hellbreed just out of hell? Something even worse than a Talon?
I hate those sorts of questions.
I say we put a fucking bullet in his head and burn this place to the ground.
No! No, please don't kill me, please!
Shut the fuck up. I'm not gonna kill you yet. You said something about subjects. What subjects?
The test subjects. Some of them just get addicted to the dream and they don't die. They exhibit side effects. They're in the East Building. They had Irene. I had to do what they said. I had to.
Facts might have known I don't.
There was definitely more to this than what Mr. Skinny was telling me. On the other hand, Irene wasn't the most dependable source either. So, two lines to choose from?
That's not the issue, Jill. The issue is what we're gonna do now.
Leon and I locked eyes for a long moment, weighing the situation. When he nodded, fractionally, I knew his mental calculus was the same as mine. I stepped back from the surgical table.
Cover him. I'm gonna go check the other buildings.
Leon drew a Glock from a hip holster.
Have fun. If I hear any ruckus, Doc Boy here gets one in the cabeza.
I'm sure there won't be anything. Am I right, traitor?
As good cop, bad cop routines go, it was a good one. If Fax could have lost any more color without turning transparent, he would have.
Just the subjects. They... You won't believe it until you see it.
It was unintentionally funny, and I found myself wanting to laugh like Leon. I dispelled the urge.
You have no idea what I might believe, kid.
10 minutes later, I stumbled back out into the glare. I barely made it. A tearing heave seemed to come all the way from my toes. My brain shuddered with what I had seen inside the South Building. Their eyes. Their arms. The smell.
Focus, goddammit. Get a handle, Jill. Any handle will do.
I lunged back into the present and headed for the laboratory. Leon barely glanced at me, then did a double take.
Jill?
Get him in the car. Take Fairfax to Galena's and chain him the fuck up. I'm gonna stay here and rip this fucking place apart.
We've been having a nice little chat here. It's worse than you think. Some guy named Harville.
Harville? The district attorney. Big, fat, red-haired, good old boy. Ran last year on a tough love 3 strikes ticket. You voted for the guy, remember? The DA is in on this? The H in the file. A big-time cop, one of the witnesses said. But I didn't think of the DA's office. Jesus, it makes sense. It makes too much goddamn sense.
That's the trouble with Hellbreed. Sooner or later, they find someone high up to seduce. It never fails.
I don't know who he is. Just that he was a big shot. He came in with...
Shut up! He did this. Willing or not, he did this. He made those... things. Dear God. I should kill you now for what you did to those people.
No.
The weak blue eyes shimmered with tears.
Get a hold on yourself, Jill. Don't kill him.
The voice of reason in my head was Saul's, and I was grateful for it. If it had been any other voice, I'd have spread Fairfax's brain and bone all over that fucking table.
Hellbreed. Who came with Harville? Which one of the motherfuckers is behind it? Who did you trade with? I think I already know. And if you lie to me, so help me God, I will send you to hell right now.
Cringing and sobbing, Fairfax told me. Quite a few things fell into place.
Jill?
Daylight was wasting. I had too much to do. Not enough time to do it in.
Story of my life. Those things in the East Building, are they vulnerable to UV light like the Scurfs?
Yes.
And this stuff, Dream. Fire destroys it? It doesn't become toxic in midair?
It better not. If it does, I don't know what I'm gonna do. He nodded, a quick little jerk of his head. The movement ended with a flinch. Because the gun's blind mouth was still pressed against his forehead so hard, I felt the trembling running through him. Every muscle in my body protested when I took the gun away from his head.
One more question. Is this all of it? All the weapon, the drug, whatever it is. Everything you've got is on site here? Is there a backup to your research?
Everything's here. My work, all the computers, no backup, nothing. The first shipment is in planes in the hangar.
That's all I need to know.
I looked up at Leon, who stood cradling Rosita. The bright spots of color still stood out on his cheeks, and his aura sparkled through my smart eye, the same sea urchin shape as mine. A flicker of disgust crossed his face, and I was terribly, sadly grateful that it wasn't me he was disgusted with.
Get him the fuck out of here. Now.
Jill.
I'm not in the mood, Leon. If you don't get him out of here, I'm gonna lose my temper. Stay in touch with the Wares and keep my city together. If I'm not in town by dawn tomorrow...
Well, what the fuck are you thinking of doing?
First, I'm burning down this building. I have to erase every trace of this, or it'll be used somewhere else.
Leon started moving, racking Rosita, sweeping the traitor off the table and onto his feet with a gun pressed to his side. I drew on the scar. A hissing whisper filled my palm, and pale, orange, misshapen flame burst into being between my fingers. I barely felt the burn against my skin. I was so cold under my leather and weight of weapons. It was the absolute chilling freeze beyond rage, beyond pain, and beyond fear.
I'm burning down every fucking stick of this place, and consigning every soul in that East Building to God. If he'll take him.
Leon had the traitor. He was dragging him out the door. Their shadows moved in the ragged rectangle of clean sunshine. And the flames dripped from my fingers, scorching the floor. The sorceress flame hunters are trained to call on, Banefire, devours all trace of Hellbreed, and leaves a blessing in its wake. But for this, I needed something more.
I need pure destruction! I need hellfire!
The bookshelves burst into oddly pale orange flame. The hellfire wreathed my fingers, and I flung it in a wide arc, smashing against the beakers and shelves on the back wall like napalm. Glass cracked and exploded, and I backed toward the door, fire scouring wetly in a trail from my right hand. The frightening thing wasn't how easy it was to pull that sort of power through the scar, or even the agonizing plucking against every nerve running up my right arm and into my shoulder. Branching channels full of magma played like dissonant violin strings. The frightening thing was that the hellfire turned yellow. A clear, pure yellow, like sunlight. I jerked my hand away from me, toward the green columns of floating dead scurf. The backdraft threw me out the door. Burn. Burn it all. Debris and shrapnel had thrown itself from the burning trailer, and it lay strewn across the surrounding area. The hangars were burning, with flames running down their walls, burning fluid splattered across the runway. The only building I'd left almost untouched was the southerly new one. The traitor said the evocation was due in a week, and a glance inside the kicked-in door showed me a fresh concrete floor with a pentagram carved deep inside a circle and a square. And it was definitely a pentagram, not a pentacle. Candles ranked on fluted iron holders, and the reek of Hellbreed so strong and thick it almost knocked me over, despite all the varied and wonderful stenches that are a hunter's life.
The hellfire, burning steadily on my fingertips now, running from the scar like grease paint, had turned green at its tips. Most sorcerous flame works on a spectrum, and I shouldn't have been able to produce more than red flame, tinged at the edges with a little orange. Instead, I was cycling up through the spectrum. I'd seen Perry produce blue hellfire once or twice.
How much of this can he feel, sitting in his office in the Monday? Is he curious about what I'm doing? Am I using up all my stock of preternatural power in this one futile gesture?
If I was, I'd cross that bridge when I came to it. There were more immediate problems to solve.
They have a backup somewhere. They would be stupid not to. Or is this the backup?
Still, the statement I was making might make any hellbreed think twice before visiting my town, even the one still burning in hell's embrace.
Even one who had killed my teacher's teacher? Isn't that the $64,000 question?
If they released Dream, drug, bioweapon, whatever it was, on my city as this Urgoth climbed free of hell, the massive suffering would be a huge banquet. It would feed him. And with that sort of energetic jolt, he'd become a very serious proposition indeed. And I wasn't a Jack Karma, capable of containing that sort of thing. Not even close. Not even with Perry's scar on my arm. A scar that might turn into a liability if Perry was ordered by a much stronger hellbreed to do something about me.
Get cracking, Jill. There's work to do.
In the center of the pentagram, the altar stood. A chunk of wood, probably from a hangman's tree, under draped black satin. Various implements scattered over the altar's surface. I took them all in with a glance. The hellfire didn't want to go away. It kept twisting in my hand, chortling at me, drawing strength from the contagion in the air. Each piece of silver I wore spat blue sparks. I shut my eyes. My smart eye piercing the meat of my eyelid to show me the shape of things under the surface of the world. The evocation was indeed very close to being finished. Had this continued, on some night under a dark moon, the walls between the physical plane and hell's screaming, shifting flames would have gapped for just the tiniest moment. Something could have slipped through, not just as a bad dream, or a walking shade like an Arceus, only able to coalesce into physical form when someone bargained with it and gave it a toehold. No, something real would step through. It only took a moment, a knife's edge worth of time. And what would a creature like Urgoth want with my town?
Revenge on a hunter of Karma's lineage? Something coincidental? A darker purpose? Assuming Perry was telling the truth, and it was Urgoth waiting to come through.
If it wasn't that hellbreed in specific, it was probably one just as bad. And its corruption would spread until burned out, fueled by the suffering of my people, my civilians, my city.
No, not my city.
The sharp clarity of my rage was comforting, but I couldn't stay there. My eyes snapped open to see that darkness had gathered in the corners. I held up my right hand. In the uncertain light, the puckered lip print on my inner wrist was just the same. There was no mark on my skin of the power I'd pulled through it. It felt flushed, obscenely full, pulsing in time with my heartbeat. God. I squeezed my eyes shut again.
Thou who hast given me to fight evil, protect me. Keep me from harm. Oh, my Lord God, do not forsake me when I face hell's legions. In thy name and with thy blessing, I go forth to cleanse the night.
I opened my eyes. Oily, pale blue bane fire wreathed my hand in living flame, dancing across itself. It boiled up, sheathing my skin. I threw it at the altar with every ounce of hellbreed strength my right arm possessed. It hit, dimmed, and roared up, a sheet of avid blue flame crawling over cursed implements and scouring the black satin. The curved knife, the twisted claw of no animal that crawled under the sun, the chalice full of clotted scum, other things that had no other purpose but to hurt and wreak havoc, all wrinkling like paper in a flame. The Banefire gathering strength as I stumbled back on legs as weak and rubbery as noodles. I hit my shoulder on the wrecked door on the way out. I collapsed in the dust.
Jill, you're in bad shape. Better shape than those things in the East Building.
If hunters were allowed to go to confession and communion, I might have turned a priest's hair white, sharing the horror. It was worse because they'd been human once. And worse even than Scurf because of the...
No!
My mind reeled violently away from the thought. There are only two or three things in my life as a hunter that have that effect. Memories so terrible, the fabric of the brain itself refuses to hold them. Human comprehension shying away.
Good. You can't remember, which means it's over. Which means you need to get on your fucking feet and finish the rest of the job. Monty, Theron, Karp, they're all in danger, and it's up to you. So quit your bitch moaning and figure out how you're gonna get the hell back to your city.
I came back to myself on my knees in the dust with my head down, hair hanging in dark strings starred with silver. The entire airfield looked like a picture of an artillery attack I'd seen in an old magazine.
If anybody's given out prizes for laying waste, I think I just won one.
I struggled up to my feet. The crimson stain in the west was the sun finally dying, and the plume of black smoke stretching up into the gathering dusk was a huge fucking neon sign.
Priorities, Jill. Your city's in danger. They could have another evocation site, and you're stuck here without a car. What are you going to do? And why aren't there news helicopters circling? Someone has to have seen this from the highway. Out here in the desert, you can see forever, can't you? A pillar of smoke during the day? Miles from the city.
I turned just as the green charger slid into a bootlegger's turn, sending up a great spume of dust.
Yes!
I ran for the car as if my soul depended on it. A muzzle flashed from the car. Something had hit me in the chest like a padded hammer. All of a sudden, it was burning. My heart was a lake of fire inside my chest.
Silver. This time they used silver.
We've got them by the balls now. Give me the gun.